Yes, praise the Lord. There's a couple of other things that I wanted to say as we're talking about the mysteries of God. And insofar as the mystery of time, I know we're kind of hopping back and forth between different things here, but I want to include a couple of other things, and we're not going to do it all today, but the one is that God has another little calendar called 40. And it's kind of a strange little calendar. You know that God has these calendars within the calendar. Within his grand scheme of millenniums. And you know, I tell you, when we get into eternity, we're going to find out even greater and grander things than what we can think of as a seven millennium calendar. There's going to be something even greater and grander than that. Because, you know, God is forever. Amen. And those that come to him are going to be forever. There will be, you know, the term eternal life means eternal. It's going to go on. And I tell you, whatever little bit of suffering we have to go through on this earth, whatever fiery trial, suffering, what did Paul call it? How did he? Light afflictions. There, I was going to call it minor suffering. Yeah, light afflictions. And, you know, I read the description. I don't think they were very light, at least if I had to go through them. But you know what? The funny thing is the more you go through trouble, the less troubled you are by it. Have you noticed that? Yeah, it doesn't get to you as much. You seem to have a confidence in the Lord. And so as we're talking about this number 40, 40 years, 40 days, whatever, it is, the number seems to mean, what shall I say? Here, let me write there's about four terms that come to my mind as I'm thinking of it, and maybe you can help me out here. Okay, trial, right? Trial, tribulation. Testing, they're all T's, aren't they? Trouble, we got another one. Trouble. And what else can you think of here that are associated with 40? Those are enough. That gives you an idea, doesn't it? Amen? So let's look at the Word of God and see the history of this thing. Now, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the first mention of 40 will be in Genesis, the 7th chapter, okay? And we're talking about the flood of Noah. Now, remember, as we talk about the historical things, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I tell you, we can dwell on that for quite a while. What did he really mean by that? Okay? So if we were, I mentioned the 7th chapter of Genesis, where the actual flood was taking place. But let's look at the 6th chapter just a little bit. I mean, every one of these mentions of 40 is a complete story. We can dwell on each one of these and give the whole account of what was going on in the whole circumstances. So now, as in the days of Noah, okay, we come to the 6th chapter, and I'll just read the first few verses. It says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." Now, remember, this is not just natural language. This is spiritual language as well. It says, "And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose." All right, you see the natural thing. I'm sure it happened in the natural. But what is, when Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, What could he have been talking about? Who are spiritually the sons of God?
Not who we think.
No, the sons of God are those who have the message of sonship, who have the end time message, who know that the Lord is their God, who are walking by faith, amen, and who have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, as Noah did. Now, then, who are the daughters of men, spiritually speaking? Daughters is what? Women, right? And spiritually speaking, women are talking about what? Churches, amen? So there, in the days of Noah, the sons of God, now we know there was a godly line of Seth, do we not? And they, you know, the Bible gives the descendants of Seth, Seth. Yes, I was going to call him Shem. Seth. Okay, Seth was the replacement for the son that was killed by Cain. He was the replacement for Abel. All right. So there was a godly line, and yet we do not find all of that godly line ready to enter into the ark with Noah. Noah was preaching righteousness. We know that. We know that God would have made plenty of room for anyone who called upon the name of the Lord before the flood. All right, now we know there were those that called on the name of the Lord after the door was shut and the rain was coming down, the floods were rising. And, you know, I'm wondering what's going to happen with some of these people that are left out on the Florida Keys that didn't evacuate, or evacuate, is that the word? Evacuate? Yeah, they didn't leave town, in other words. They didn't leave there. Are they going to call upon the name of the Lord? The governor is saying that this storm surge is coming in 10, 11, 12, 15 feet, and they say this thing will swallow a whole house. This is the surge of ocean that this powerful storm pushes before. It's like a giant bulldozer, hundreds of feet across, and it's just pushing a big wave of surge coming in. I keep thinking about the days of Noah, when these people then they called upon the name of the Lord, because we know that Jesus went and preached to them who had been formerly disobedient, it says. Okay, so it says here then, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, here's another interesting number here. Okay, I want to write this number. I want to write 40. 40 is a number. But what is the number 120? What does that mean? 120 has a meaning, okay? So what happens when you take tribulation, and the number 3 means what? Means fullness, doesn't it? So if you have fullness of tribulation, 40 times 3 equals what? 120. So God is saying the fullness of tribulation is at hand. I'm going to give man 120 more years. I'm going to try him for 120 more years. So I don't think God is saying that this is going to be the maximum age that a man can live, although it seems to be. We don't know people that are living over 120 today. But I believe that God is particularly saying to Noah, okay, look, you've got 120 years. Get started. All right, I'll show you what I want done. Now, he made a statement here. He said that he will not always strive with man. He said, I'll strive for yet 120 more years, and then that's it. Now, let's come over here in verse 11. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Been looking at the news lately?
Yes.
Now, come on, you folks are more than 20 years old here today, all right? You remember what things were like when you were young. Do you remember the newspaper headlines? There wasn't a murder every week, was there? There wasn't a murder every day. No, yeah, there's somebody charged with a crime now every day. I was thinking a couple years ago that we were getting it in the paper every week. Yeah, now Rita mentions, yes, every day. And it's in our neighborhood where we live. There's crime. Amen. If it isn't murder, it's some big drug bust. If it isn't that, it's some big pornography bust that's going on. I remember as a teenager, growing up, there was one so-called murder in our county, and I think that was the only one I remember in something like 20 years. A kid got put in jail. He took a screwdriver and he whacked the jailer on the head with it, and the jailer died, and he got charged with a crime. It was somebody I knew. And this was such a shocking thing to the community to believe that one of our boys had done a thing like that, you know? Okay, it says, and then he goes on here and he says, and God looked upon the earth and behold it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So if Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, can we not conclude that this is what he's comparing it with? Okay? And 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, the other thing about the, as in the days of Noah, is God is wanting to bring an end to flesh. How many of you believe that among the sons of God, God is asking us to come to the end of flesh? And coming to the end of flesh is not an easy thing. It's not easy for me. If it's not easy for me, I'm sure it's not easy for you. It's not just our carnal chemistry that is having a hard time coming to an end. It's our carnal thinking. It's our carnal soul that is the real problem. Changing our mind, changing our emotions, changing our will, and changing our desires. This is what we have a hard time with. This is flesh. And God is saying, I want all this flesh to come to an end, and I want spirit. I want you to live by the Spirit. So, as in the days of Noah. So now the judgment is come, and we find here, I'm going to take you to the verses, chapter 7, verse 12. We won't dwell on Noah forever. We'll start in 11. And the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So you see, there was a twofold destruction. One came from beneath, and the other came from above. And God was pouring water in from both sides. Amen. It says, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So there's your number 40. 40 days and 40 nights. The rain was upon the earth. Amen. Now, we know that in verse 16 it says, they all went in, male and female of all flesh, as the Lord had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, let me take you to another verse. We have another witness here about the days of the flood, verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were exceeding great, increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. Amen. And we go down to verse 20. It says, 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits. 15 cubits. 15 cubits times, it's almost 22 and a half feet or whatever, depending on what the cubic, almost 25 feet anyway, above the top of the mountains. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that God cannot have raised mountains higher than that since then. All right? Because earthquakes and stuff does raise mountains up. Okay. Now, let me take you to the end of this. And it says here, okay, verse 14, and the second month and the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dried. That's the 601st year of Noah's life. So how long were they actually in the ark? You can tell exactly here. The first one, it was the 600th year, the second month, the 17th day. 601st year now, second month, 27th day. So what's the difference between 17 and 27 is 10 more days. So they were in the ark for a year and 10 days. Now, isn't it interesting to notice the number 17? Remember I did a teaching one time on the number 17. I found it to be a very, very interesting number. So let's move on. Okay, so there was the 40 days and 40 nights of the flood. Now, I find another, and by the way, we find the number 120 here too. All right, let's go to Exodus now, the 24th chapter, and we're going to find the mention of 40 again. What happened in Exodus that we have the number 40? This time it isn't 40 days and 40 nights. This time it's 40 years. Amen? So we have Exodus, let's go to Exodus 24 verse 18 first. We're going to give you several witnesses here. Oh, wait a minute. We do have another 40 day and 40 night. Yes, we do. We have Moses, okay? It says here, let me start back with verse 16, okay? Chapter 24. It says, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day, there's another of God's calendar, okay? The 6 days of labor, the seventh day is the Lord's day. Here we have the seventh day the Lord manifest now on Mount Sinai. Amen. And he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire upon the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Can you imagine seeing that? Can you imagine? No, they were not dancing happy days or here again. They were not seeing the horse and rider. No, they were under the awesome power of the glory of God. Do we have any appreciation what the glory of God can accomplish? I mean, when it says, and the glory shall be seen upon you. When it says the glory shall be within you. This is a picture of the glory of God. This is a terrifying thing. People are not terrified of the works of God. People are not terrified of the people of God. But you know what? During the days of Acts, the people were terrified of the church. It said no man would join up with them unless he was really serious. I mean, especially after Ananias and Sapphira died by just giving a little white lie. Well, yeah, it was kind of a white lie. They kind of lied. They kind of told the truth. But Peter said, no, you're lying. This isn't the way it was. You are here for the purpose of deception. My goodness, what would happen if God began dealing with us every time we tried to deceive somebody about something? Well, we him and haw about these things. We don't want to tell the truth. You know what? God isn't afraid of telling the truth. And another thing is, it's not politically correct to tell the truth either, is it? All right, so let's go on. It says, in the glory of the Lord, like a devourer. Okay. And Moses went up, verse 18, into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was on the mount 40 days and 40 nights. There you go, 40 days and 40 nights. What was the purpose of Moses being up there for 40 days and 40 nights? Now, Moses wasn't up there to be destroyed. Moses wasn't up there because God was bringing destruction down below on the earth. Moses was up there. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And by the way, do you know that Jesus also fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? I don't have the scripture written here. Oh yes. Well, no, I don't. I thought I did. No, I don't have it written down. But we know that that's what he did. All right, let me give you another verse. Exodus 34... 28. Let's look at Exodus 34:28. This is not just statistics, brethren. This is historical acts of God. Verse 27. The Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of the words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now listen, you can't be up there in the heat of the Sinai, amen, for 40 days and 40 nights and never drink a drop of water in your natural flesh. God has to do something amazing. Amen. Well, wasn't there something about 40 days with Elijah too? That he ate the food that the angel had given him? And didn't it say that he went 40 days on the food that the angel gave him? Remember when he was up in the cave complaining to God, and God said that there, you gave me the number last week, didn't you?
Elijah
5,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal.
7,000.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's a better number. 7,000. Wasn't there something about him going 40 days on the strength of what the angels had given him to eat? Well, look it up and let me know. Anyway, if anybody finds it. Okay, a little more on Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9. Let's find that. Deuteronomy 9:9. I think he mentions it again. So there's lots of witnesses. Here he says, I'll go back to verse 8 so you kind of get the context. Also in Horeb, ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, neither did I eat bread nor drink water. Amen. And the Lord delivered unto me these two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount in the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. So it's a 40 days of fire, wasn't it? Amen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. Amen. Now, I suppose if you really want to get the word of the Lord, if you want to go up for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, it says at the end of the 40 days, then the Lord gave him the tables of stone. Amen. Please interrupt any time you have that passage. No, it didn't happen. Okay. Let me go to something else. Deuteronomy. Let's start with something else here now. Deuteronomy 34:7. So since we're in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34:7. And this is the last of the books of Moses. It's almost the last verse in the five books of Moses. And it's talking about Moses' death. Now, Moses could not have written the part about his death. I really don't think he did. I think that probably Joshua picked up the scroll and said, well, okay, listen, we need to finish this off. Moses is dead. I'm just going to write this last chapter here. And it says, let's go to verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Isn't that good of God to do that? What do you suppose they would have done if they had his sepulcher? They would have worshipped the man. He was the greatest man of all of that time. So God took him out. You know, it's funny. He did that with Elijah too, didn't he? No man's going to worship Elijah. Amen. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Wouldn't you like to go for that? 120. Your eye is not your eye is not dim, and your natural force is not abated. That means you can walk, you can do whatever you want to do. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. 30 days, by the way, was their time of mourning. Now, I found out that for Jacob, amen, the mourning was 40 days. You know why? Because it took 40 days for the Egyptians to embalm him. And I find it interesting that it says that Joseph asked the physicians of Egypt to embalm him. Is this what physicians did, was embalm the dead? But anyway, it was 40 days. Another interesting number. Okay, so here we have Moses with 120. Now, tell me, and prove to me how there were, so if there was 120 years in Moses' life, was it divided equally into 3 40-year periods? Isn't anybody going to help me? How old was Moses when he slew the Egyptian and went into the backside of the desert to be with Jethro? 40. How old was Moses when he came back before Pharaoh? 80. And how do you know that? And I'm sitting there at the table yesterday and I thought, well, everybody knows this. And I thought, all right, I have to prove it. I couldn't find it in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. I couldn't find it there. I looked up the word score, like in four score or what, two score, whatever it is. I couldn't find it. In fact, I couldn't find the word score in the Bible. I thought it was everywhere in the Bible. Either that or I'm misspelling it. But you know what? Guess what? Come on, Ellen. You know where this is.
No.
You know the history of how did the Hebrew people know how old Moses was? It's not written in the books of Moses. Guess where you're going to find it? In the book of Acts. The Hebrew people had to have known this by passed on tradition, mouth to mouth, father to son. And Stephen is the one that's standing up in front of the Sanhedrin and reading them their history. Listen, let me read it in the book of Acts. Amen. Acts 7:23. Go over to the book of Acts. A most unlikely place to find the history of Moses. Where did I say it was? I said Acts what? 7:23. Okay. Okay, it says here, verse 22. I'll start back there. 21. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now, again, this doesn't sound like Moses. Moses is complaining to God that he's not mighty in words. said, "Well, I'm not very good at talking." Well, he'd been talking to sheep for 40 years. But Moses is complaining. But now Stephen says, no. Listen, if Stephen said it, Stephen was under the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit, everything he said here. He was standing here, he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the throne of God.
Hallelujah.
My goodness. Now the Word of God says he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know what? If he rose from his seat to greet Stephen, that was a significant event. My goodness, would he rise to greet us as we come in? I believe he will. I believe he will. You have the passage? Yeah.
1 Kings 19:8.
1 Kings 19:8. Okay, go ahead and read it.
And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God.
Wow. Amen. Thank you. Another example of 40. Okay, 40 isn't always bad, but it's certainly, if you can go 40 days and 40 nights, you've come through a test. And Elijah needed to be in a test at this time. He was thinking of giving up, wasn't he? He was out there in this wilderness place saying, God, you might as well kill me. I'm the only one left, you know.
Mm-hmm. Boy. Jezebel was scary.
Oh, yeah.
She sent the demons to him.
Yeah, Jezebel put a contract out on him to kill him. Mm-hmm. I tell you, amen. Well, Jezebel doesn't like us today either, does she? Oh, dear. I think of dear brother Tommy Cook. Well, I tell you, Brother Tommy Cook knew more about the spirit of Jezebel than any man I've ever known. I asked him one day, I said, how did you learn so much? He said, oh, I just had to study, Brother Martin. So here's Moses. Did we get to that verse here where it says he learned all the wisdom? And verse 23, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defeated him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Amen. So we know that he was 40 at that point. Now, let's look down, because he isn't finished with his history of Moses. Amen. And verse 29, then Moses fled at the saying, was stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush, and Moses saw it, etc., etc. You know the rest. So, what happened? Moses was 40 when he came to years. It says in Hebrews, and when he was come to years, he made a decision. He chose that he did not want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he chose to be a son of God. Amen. At 40 years. Then he did something wrong. I'm going to say God sentenced him to 40 years. All right, Moses, you 40 years for trying to do this thing in the flesh. You know, you can't bring the kingdom of God about in the flesh. You cannot get people delivered in the flesh. You know, the first problem is people don't always want to be delivered. They say they do, but when it comes right down to the price of deliverance, they don't always want to pay it.
Well, they do, but they don't.
They do, but yeah, see, that's the point. They do, but they don't. The human soul is very fickle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Men are unsteady. Men are they're not steadfast.
It was when I smoked. I wanted so much to be delivered from smoking because I felt I was so dishonoring God. And I said, then the opportunity came for prayer and fasting for 3 days. And I said, I really want to do this, but I don't want to stop. I don't want to smoke, but I don't want to stop.
Right.
But I did it. And he's delivered me.
Amen. You've got to pay the price, haven't you? Yeah, there is a price. And this is called buying the oil. The oil, yes, you have to buy the oil. The foolish virgins had not bought the oil. Now, in tribulation, they have a chance to buy the oil. They're going to buy the oil, but they will not be in the same place for that 3.5 years as the sons of God, as the bride of Christ. Okay? So, one more thing about Moses. Did I mention Exodus 7? Verse 7. There is a funny little verse in Exodus 7:7. Let me look at it. And I think that's another... The only little clue in Exodus about Moses' age is, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying..." Now, wait a minute. What's the matter with this? I must have got it wrong. Anyway, it says... Oh, here it is. Oh, I got it wrong. It's 6 and 7, yeah. "And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, and did they. And Moses was 80." Yeah, see, that's why I couldn't find the word score. It's a double word. It's 80, 80, you know, they do like the Germans, make it all one word. "And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh." So there's the other part of their life. Now, we have one other issue here in while we're still in among the children of Israel. 40 years sentence of wandering in the wilderness. Look over at Exodus chapter 14. We're going to give you a couple of witnesses on this one too. Exodus 14, start in 31 and just read a couple verses. All right. I have 31 through... There isn't that many verses. I've got the wrong chapter. All right. We'll find it in another place. There's plenty of witnesses here. I have 14. Maybe it's 41. No, it's not 14. It's definitely not 14. Let me look and see if I transpose that. I've been known to do that. No, there is no 41. All right, let's find the witness in Numbers 32. We can find it in Numbers 32. Clearly, Numbers 32. Now, Numbers 32 is when the children of Israel came to Kadesh Barnea, and they appointed 12 spies, and 12 spies went into the Canaan land to spy it out. And how long were they in the land spying it out?
40 days.
And they came back after 40 days, 10 of the 12. See, here's what happens if you do a poll. Here's the problem with doing opinion polls. Hello? They do an opinion poll and they say, well, the president only has a certain percent of positive people thinking positive about the way he's doing. So the children, the spies came back from Canaan, and 10 of the 12 spies said, nah, it's not going to work. We're mature men. We know we can't do it. We've done the math. We've figured it out. It isn't going to work. But two of the men, you see, God, don't judge God by opinion polls. They're always wrong. Oh, you know what happened with the election? The polls were showing right up until the last, Hillary's going to win. Hillary's going to win. Hillary's going to win. Hillary's going to win. And Viola, The next morning, guess what? Mr. Trump was the winner. And so you understand, man can skew these things. If you do an opinion poll in a predominantly liberal part of town, so to speak, guess what you're going to get? I don't think I have ever had a caller call me for an opinion poll on anything of what do you think of the president or the governor or whatever. No, never. And I mean, it isn't that we don't get strange calls. By the way, I got a strange call last night. I've never gotten a call like this. This is the Internal Revenue Service calling. We're calling to inform you that a warrant has been issued for your arrest, and you have unpaid whatever, and you can call this number.
Whoa, boy, what a scam!
What a scam! I don't know how they cannot track these people down. There is a phone number that they call you on. I tried to call the number back and it went nowhere, so I don't know what it was all about. Anyway, opinion polls. So because of the majority opinion that we can't go in the land, guess who trumped it? Guess who held the trump card on this? God did.
Hallelujah.
God said, no, I'm the one that told you to go into that land. I don't care what your opinion poll says. Now, why did he allow them to do it if he knew they were going to come back with that opinion? Why? Because why did they wander for 40 years? He told them. You find it in Exodus. He said, I let you wander in the desert for 40 years. I fed you with bread unknown to you, unknown to your fathers. I did things to you. Why? To try you, to see what was in your heart. Now, it isn't that God didn't know what was in their heart, but when you get tried to see what's in your heart, it's so that you will find out what's in your heart. You don't know what's in your heart. That's the problem. You think that you can go out and you can do thus and thus. You think that you will stand steadfast. You think that you will this. You think that you will overcome that. You think that you can resist thus and thus. But you find out whether you can or whether you can't. And the surprising, shocking thing is God knew it all along. And He's putting you through the test so that you will find out what's in you. Children of Israel did not know, most of them did not know what was in their heart. Yes, they wanted out of Egypt. Yes, they wanted out from under the whip of Pharaoh's taskmasters. Yes, they wanted a day off. Yes, they wanted a break. But when they got out there in the wilderness, they found out they didn't want to pay the price. That's what it was all about. They didn't want to endure the difficulty. I don't know what kind of difficulty is going to come on this earth. Something is coming. Something is going to change our lifestyle. Something about the way that we live comfortably is going to change. I don't want it to happen. I like the way things are right now. I will do anything to preserve the status quo of my comfort. Amen? But I know that something is coming, and the question is, how am I going to endure it? Am I going to be able to make the change, make the transition? Suppose I have nothing but rice to eat for 3 years.
Thank God you have rice.
Yeah, I should say thank God I have rice. But if I have... What?
We'd probably be complaining.
Yes, we will complain. I want leeks and garlic to put in my rice like they had in the days of Egypt. Why can't I have that? Why can't we have at least that? A little flavoring in this stuff.
We complain we got a little rain when Texas got 50 inches.
Yeah.
Sky dry soup mixes.
Yeah. No, listen, it's going to change. Our diets are going to change. Our comfort level is going to change. Our modus operandi is going to change. I don't know how. I cannot write a story of what it's going to be like until after it happens. But they had to be tried 40 years in the wilderness. Amen. Sentenced to 40 years. Did I read it? Numbers 32, 13. I never got to that, did I?
No.
Where was I? Where did I leave off? And okay, let's start. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. My goodness. So, by the way, the evidence, though, is that from this point on, it was 38 years. Did you know that? Except the Lord, what does it say in Matthew 24? Except the Lord, no, shorten, how is it? Shorten the time for the elect's sake. All here. Let me just read it here. I've got it right here. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Amen. So, why did he give them only 38 years then, if he sentenced them to 40? Come on, you know the answer. Because by the time they got here, they'd already been 2 years in the wilderness. So he gave them credit for time served. You know, if the guy's in jail for 6 months, waiting for his trial, and he gets a trial, and the judge says, I'm going to sentence you to 1 year, he'll give him credit for the 6 months he's already been in the prison. And he'll only have to serve six more. It's the way it works. And God did that too. God was very merciful. You know, the devil is not merciful like that. Do you remember, what is it in Isaiah or is it in Ezekiel, where it gives the description of Satan, and it says that he released not his prisoners. And I'm thinking, you see, even a merciful government that sentences their prisoner, if you get a sentence of so many years, then you're going to get released after so many years. You study the history of Stalin, you find out he never released his prisoners. He'd keep them right in there in those gulag prison camps until they died. And that was his whole purpose, is to... He had a twofold purpose. One was to make slaves out of them and to wring every bit of energy he could out of their flesh. And number two was to get rid of them. He was Satan. He was the same as Satan. He released not his prisoners. Never let them go. We got another one here of... let's go to Acts 1:15. I've got a bunch more in the Old Testament. I don't know if we have time. Let me just take this one of Acts. Well, you know what it's going to say in Acts 1:15, don't you? Come on, help me out here. You know what it's going to say. I say Acts 1:15, and we're talking about a number. What number are we going to talk about? Amen? And in those days... Peter stood in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Now, you know what? It might have been 121. It might have been 122. It might have been 119. What God wanted us to know was number 120. There were about 120. 120, again. The fullness. These are people now, this 120 that are gathered. This is the fullness of those who have been tried and tested. They've been tried and tested in the ministry of Jesus. You see, it wasn't just the 12 or the 11 now. It wasn't just them. There were more than 100 other people besides those disciples that were following this message, gathering together unto the Lord. So there you have the 120. Let's just go to a couple of others here. I think we have time. It won't take long. Let me go to Judges 13, chapter 1. Judges 13, chapter 1. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Okay? And Judges 13 is going to be... It says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. What was this 40 years all about? It was a 40-year sentence again. A 40-year judgment. Maybe we can add the word sentence to this. 40-year sentence. So Israel was delivered into the hand of the Philistines. It's like saying, okay, I'm going to put you in prison for 40 years. Well, not quite prison, not super security prison. But you know what? You're not going to be able to do what you really want. They're going to come and they're going to rob you. They're going to tax you to death. They're going to steal from you. They're going to come and kill you if you don't obey them. And they are evil people. So you want to act evil? You want to worship their gods? All right. I'll let them have you. You can be their slaves for a while. Instead of you being the boss, they'll be the boss. So this is what... Who was the one that came for their deliverance then at this time? What is the 13th chapter of Judges all about? 13, 14, 15? Samson. It's the story of Samson coming for their deliverance. Amen? Bringing them to deliverance. So there's your 40. I want to take you to another one, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, 16. Here's another 40 years, but they're under siege for 40 days. You're getting the picture here. Goliath. It says, now the Philistines gathered, that's first verse, together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesdamim. All right, I'm not good at these words. I'm on the first verse of 1 Samuel 17. Anyway, now we come to verse 4. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was 9'4", if that's an 18-inch cubit. He was, his head was probably somewhere right up about the ceiling here. He was a big guy. Okay? He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I translated that to almost 17 pounds. His coat weighed. Amen. He had greaves of brass on his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels. He had a 2-pound head of iron on his spear, and one bearing a shield went before him. 2 pounds. Think of 2 pounds of butter. That's what the end of his spear weighed. I mean, even if it didn't pierce you, it would knock you down. All right, so this fellow, now, verse 16, we'll go to verse 16. It says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days he did that. You knew this, didn't you? You knew he was there 40 days?
You know, Brother Yancey, it's not the number. I know the content.
Yes. No, I'm just giving us an education here.
Yeah.
40 days is what he did this. Amen? And can you see Saul? Why could Saul not stand before this man? Yeah, you see, when your heart is not right toward God, you will not be able to stand before your enemies. And this is the problem with these 10 spies. Their heart was not right toward God. Joshua and Caleb, their heart was perfect toward God. They were well able to stand before their enemies. You remember the testimony of even Caleb when they finally came into the land. He must have been, what, about 83 or something? 85, I think he said. He said, same thing as Moses. My strength is still here. I can come and I can go, you know. And why? His heart was right toward God. Amen. But if your heart is not right toward God, you cannot stand before your enemies. You will not be able to defeat the devil. And the man that came along was David. David was obedient to God. David's heart was right toward God. And David came out there, just 17-year-old stripling. They called him a stripling. Saul says, now David had already been playing the guitar, we'll call it the guitar, I don't know what, an instrument before Saul, appeasing that wicked spirit that was in Saul. He'd been doing it, and Saul would be relieved of this evil spirit. Now, finally, Saul goes out to war, and David goes back to his father. And he comes in to Saul and says, I'd like to fight this giant. And Saul said, well, I don't know about you, kid, you know. Well, David, I killed a lion, I killed a bear. Listen, you've seen lions, haven't you? Have you seen wild bears? Yeah, I have. Up in Newcomb, we used to go every Friday and Saturday night out to the dump to watch the bears. These are huge creatures, violent things. I mean, one little bear comes up to a big one, and boy, the little ones go running. Can you imagine going, this thing has your lamb, and you go up there and you rip his mouth open? Don't you dare take my lamb. I mean, this is not natural strength. David had to know that. You could never do this in your natural strength. And so he knew, he had a knowing that he had the power of the Spirit of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he challenges the people of God? I mean, is he stronger than a lion or a bear? I will go against him and I will prevail. And he isn't going to get away with doing this to God or God's people. 40 days. Saul's people were tested 40 days and they weren't doing very good with the test. David came along the 40th day and said, what's the problem here? Why aren't you guys out killing this guy? And you know, when David did this, I'll just tell you the story. I can't read it all. finally, the Philistines saw what happened, and they began to flee. And Israel began to flee after them. And it says they fled after them right up to the gates of Ekron and Gath. Now, they had a big walled city. So the Philistines, those that could run fast enough, finally got into their city, and they closed their big door. All right? But it says a lot of Philistines fell trying to escape. Listen, you can face your enemies in God. One more example. 1 Samuel 4, verse 18. We got to go back a little bit. Another 40, and this will be the last one. 1 Samuel 4, 18. Now this is Eli, okay? This is where the ark was captured. Remember, they took the ark out to fight the Philistines. This is in the days of Eli. Okay. I'm going to give you the verse. Let's start at verse 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth on his head. And when he came lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of the tumult?" And the men came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark is taken." These were two wicked sons, by the way. They were wicked priests. They should have been fired a long time ago. Eli had the power to do it. He could have prevented this whole thing. Yes, he could have. He could have turned Israel. But no, he had to wait for that boy Samuel to come along, to come to some kind of maturity. Amen? Now listen, "And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell off from the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. I would say not a very good 40-year judgment. This is after Samson now. So we're supposed to get a godly judge named Eli, the high priest. He was the judge now, 40 years, and look how it came to an end. And of course, guess what the next phase is going to be? The next phase is going to be Saul. And that is not going to be a pleasant period. How long, by the way, was Saul king? Does anybody know?
No, it wasn't very long.
Well, actually, it was it was at least 15 years.
15?
At least 15, I think. Because David was 17 when he killed Goliath, and David did not really come to the throne until he was 30 years old. And I'm thinking that Saul had already been king for probably a couple of years, probably from at least the time that David was 15, I'd say. At least for a couple of years. Well, praise the Lord. That's the number 40. Just a little highlight on that. Next time, in the Lord willing, let's look at another thing of marking time called midnight and see what God has to say. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
But then in 1 Kings it says David reigned over Israel 40 years.
Yes, now there's a good 40. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Wow.
That's where the 40 was. Yeah. David reigned for 40 years.
7 years in Hebron, and 30 years in Jerusalem.
That's it, yes. Now there's a good 40.
33 years.
Yeah. A good 40.
Yeah.
Amen. 40 is, yeah, it's all of these things. But Israel was being tried also during that time of David's reign. They were being tried. Amen. All right, God bless you.